Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. This week, we're celebrating our nation's birthday. To commemorate July 4th and honor all the things that make our country so special, we're learning about military life in books for kids written by an incredible military mom. That's coming up next. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corletis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad to have you again joining us this week, right? Every episode we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. So let's talk about today's program. They say that joining the military is a family affair, and that surely is true of my guest today, Sarah Doran. Sarah's dad was a military chaplain, so she grew up moving from one military base to another all across the country. She then enlisted when she was 21 and chose a very interesting field. Sarah will be joining us to talk about military life and tell us all about the book series that she's writing for kids that honors military life. Welcome, Sarah, to the Moms for America podcast. We're so glad to have you today joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
We met at NRB through a friend of ours and connected. And boy, we were like, you got to come on the podcast, tell your story and share your books and all this fun stuff. But before we get into that, I do want you to tell us a little bit about your family, kids, hubby, what you got over there.
Yeah, so I'm currently living outside of the Fort Hood, Texas area in Belton, Texas. I'm married. We homeschool our two boys, 9 and 11. And we're renovating a 3,000 square foot house, have been for the last year. It keeps us very busy.
Those projects just never end, right?
Oh my goodness, they never end. It's yes.
All right. Well, in your spare time, homeschooling, being a mom and a wife and all that, you're writing books and you have really a great legacy as far as a military family. So I want to talk a little bit about, I've always been curious what it's like to grow up in the military. I mean, only a few, I don't even know how many kids would be considered in that percentage in families, but this is going to be an interesting reveal for us. And I mean, we're going to get into the story, but was patriotism as a military child, family, obviously patriotism was rooted in your family.
Yeah. So I grew up most of my childhood. My father was in the Air Force for 7 years, and then he got out of the Air Force, went to seminary when I was in kindergarten, first grade. Pastored a small church for a couple of years and then joined the Army when I was in first grade and was in the Army for 30 years. So all of my childhood was spent as a military child. And so we did all of the normal military child things. We moved every couple of years. We had the deployments and the TDYs and the goodbyes and, you know, all of the hard things that go along with military childhood.
Let's start with those.
Yeah.
So the first one you said was, okay, so your dad became a chaplain 30 years. So your entire childhood, you were raised. How many times did you move? And was that like?
I haven't counted up recently. We moved every 2 to 3 years. Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, Fort Campbell, Kentucky, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, Vicenza, Italy. It was hard. In a lot of ways, because you're moving to a new school, you're having to make new friends, you're finding new playgrounds to go to and all the new restaurants. And, you know, it's really hard to say goodbye when you make new friends and then starting all over every couple of years.
How did your parents approach that? Was it like, we're going to go see a new state, we're going to go make new friends? I mean, how do you, as a parent, you have to really figure out how to sell it. And that is your life.
Right.
And was that interesting to see different? I mean, you saw the country much more than anyone else, probably, than I've ever seen.
Yeah. You know, for our family, first and foremost, we were a believing family. So we were rooted in the word and we were followers of Christ. And so For us, that was a constant for our family. And so, even though our life was chaotic and there was constant change, that was one thing that didn't change. And so that helped kind of bind us together throughout the changes. So that was a very positive thing that kept us together.
And true, and as well, your father being a chaplain, this was a ministry. This was
Absolutely.
right. This was beyond, this was military and patriotism and love of country, but he was in the ministry. I mean, so it was a calling for the family.
Right. And so that was the part two to that answer was for us as a family, this wasn't just a family, or this wasn't just a calling for him. This was a family service. And so they always approached the moves and the hard things that we had to face as this is something we're doing not alone. This is something we're doing as a family. So we're serving as a family, and it's not just dad doing these things. It's how are we serving our community? How are we serving other military families? And how are we making a difference wherever we're going? And so that really, I think for me as a military child, it gave me purpose. How am I being a friend to other military kids? How am I serving my community? How am I helping at the chapels to make it better? And so I really found that I thrived in the military community because I looked forward to making new friends and being a friend wherever I would go and helping to. I was a singer, and so I would go to new chapel services and sing how I could serve, how I could sing, how I could make it better.
Love that.
And so it really
You looked at
was
it as an
an.
opportunity. Obviously, your parents must have really instilled that in you. Were your siblings, were you close since it was just you and who?
So I have two brothers. My sister actually passed away back in 2013, but there were four of us, and we absolutely were very close-knit. And so we had each other. We were each other's best friends because, we did move around constantly. But we were companions. We got into trouble all the time together, but we were each other's people.
For sure, I bet.
So.
What were some of the challenges, though, to military life for you and your family? I guess you just kind of turned some of the challenges into a positive, but never knowing maybe where you're going or your father leaving for, being deployed. Let's talk about that. What was that like?
So even though we were able to find the positives in the hardships, those hardships are very real. And so you do have to definitely deal with them. And so your typical hardships, like saying goodbye. So one of the first things that I remember when I was in first grade, second grade, was my dad. My dad joined the army as a new chaplain. We got to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And one of the first things that happened when we got there was we're getting settled, and dad comes home one day from work, and he sits my mom down and he's like, "Hey, look, we're going to Korea." Or he said, "I'm going to Korea for a year." And mom's like, "Okay, well, if that's where the Lord wants us to go, we'll go to Korea." And he's like, "I don't think you understand. I'm going to Korea. You and the kids are staying here." And she was not thrilled because we had just gotten to Fort Bragg. And that wasn't really where her headspace was at, was getting to this new place, new career, new everything for her. I mean, she was not coming from a military background at all. And so she's got these four kids in this new place, and all of a sudden he's being ripped apart and going very
And
far
he left
away.
for a year.
He left for a year. And this was before, technology. We had postcards, and we would take video
Write letters.
cameras. We would write, well, postcards primarily, but yes. And then we had a video camera that we would pass back and forth through the mail. So he would do videos out there in Korea, and then he would mail it to us. So we would watch all of his videos, and then we would fill it up with video from us at home, and then we would mail it to him in Korea. And so we'd pass it back and forth so that we could see him. And it was incredibly hard. And I just remember as a kid, kind of being heartbroken because I was like, I don't even remember what his laugh sounds like and what his hugs feel like. And that's heartbreaking. I'm sure as a mother, I can't even imagine now hearing that from my child. But as a child, as a military kid, feeling those things and recognizing that now, wanting to, I'm skipping ahead because I started writing books for military kids. But this is part of why I wanted to make books for military kids because they go through these really hard things. And I wanted to validate those hard things, but also help them kind of hone in on those positive experiences that they
Yeah, I
also
can't
have.
imagine. I can't imagine someone leaving for a year and then coming back and then leaving again and coming back and all that back and forth. But kudos to your mom. Like, I'm just thinking about her. Like, women are strong. They
Oh my
really are.
gosh. God gave women such an incredible resiliency that is,
Strong in a different way, right? The men are on the
it is.
battlefield or whatever,
Yes. Right.
but
But women, and it's this thankless, like, it's so humble and like it's out of the spotlight so much of the time.
yeah.
But God created women in such a
Military
unique
wives,
and special way. And military wives, yes.
Wow, kudos to your mom. So then your journey for all this time, dad back and forth, taking either 6 months to a year. Was he gone ever longer than a year?
Not to my
Okay.
recollection. Most of his deployments, I believe, were about a year. I know that deployments, for some service members would get up to, 18 months, but we would
It's a long
usually
time.
see, oh, we absolutely, it's a very long time.
Yeah.
But no, I think his were only about a year in
Yeah.
length.
So missing your father, I mean, again, just kudos to your mom. I can't imagine. You know, there's something about moving and then your husband leaving, all new community, kids. I mean, raising kids just as a single parent,
Oh,
whether it's
yes.
temporary or not, is really tough. So,
Right.
all this, you do this for your whole childhood,
Right.
then mom, dad retires.
Eventually, yeah, actually, they didn't retire until I was already out of the service by then. So
Okay,
he
so
lasted
he
longer than
stayed
my
this.
military service.
Okay, so he's a lifelong. By
Yes.
the way, thank you for his, tell him thank you for family for their
I
service
will.
over
I
there.
will.
So you then, you grow up, you get to be a big girl, and you're trying to figure out what to do with your life. And this often happens with
Yes.
military families as the children enlist. So tell us your story now.
Yeah, so often military children, so this is actually something that's not talked about a lot, is military children reach a certain age. And they lose their dependent ID cards. And that doesn't seem like that big a deal. But what that is it kind of takes away the cultural identity that so many military children have come to appreciate and love. And it's that access to post and installations. And so when you take that ID card away, they can no longer get on post and installations,
Which is
which
what? What's
is.
a post and installation?
So a post and an installation, that's where the military, those are the bases, right? Where the military live and work.
Okay.
So here we have Fort Hood. There's military installations and bases all around the United States and overseas. And it's where they live and work. Okay.
Okay.
And so for military kids, that's home.
Ah.
It's not a house. It's not a certain city or a town. It's post. It's the base or the installation. And it's not even just one, it's all of them. They're all home. That's
Okay.
home for a military
Okay.
child. So then you take their ID card away and they're no longer allowed to go on post, which means they're no longer allowed to go home
What's
anymore.
familiar to them, right?
Right. And so you're stripping away that cultural piece of their identity and they go
Okay.
into panic mode, which is exactly what happened to me
Okay.
when I reached that age where they were like, yeah, you're going to be losing your ID card. And I was like, I don't know who I am. What am I doing? And
Okay.
so I kind of reached a crossroads where I'm like, okay, what am I doing with my life? I'm
So
either
I'll
going to,
enlist.
I guess I'm going to join the army. So I did. I decided I wasn't ready to give up the military aspect of my life. And so I chose to serve.
Well,
And
how old were
that,
you when you signed up?
I was 21.
Okay.
And so there's different rules on how it all works as far as when they take your ID card away. I was a college student, so I got to keep my ID card longer than if you were not a college student.
Okay.
Anyway,
So you're
complicated, not that
21, you
important.
sign up for the Army now. Were your parents
Right.
surprised?
Yeah, I think they were both shocked.
Were your siblings surprised?
Yes, both of my brothers actually, my older brother was already a Marine
Okay.
when
I
I
was going to
joined the
ask about
Army.
them. Okay.
Yeah, my younger brother joined the National Guard after I did. I believe it was after I did.
So everybody, really.
So my sister never did join the service. She
Okay.
might have eventually, I don't
Well,
know,
three out of
but
four.
so we're definitely a military service heavy family.
Right. We're talking from an experienced family here, not only them for 30 years, but now three out of the four enlisted. So now tell us about what you chose to be your career training, what they call that there. It's very interesting that you chose this.
So I had narrowed down my choices to either public affairs or a Black Hawk helicopter mechanic. And the
Right.
reason is
I
I
mean, come on.
needed
You can see the connection.
I know. So my parents, all growing up, my mom loved aviation. I think in another life she would have chosen to be a pilot. But she just loved aviation. She loved helicopters, airplanes. And so she would take us to air shows. Anything aviation related, she'd take us to the air shows and let us see the airplanes and take us to the airports just to watch the airplanes take off and land.
Isn't that
And so I
interesting?
just grew up loving helicopters and airplanes.
Okay.
And I needed something that was going to be challenging. I chose helicopters. And so
What
I
did
knew
you do there? What was
I
your.
knew nothing. I knew nothing about
Have you
helicopters
ever been in a
and
helicopter before you went there?
No, I
No.
knew
Okay.
nothing.
Well,
I knew
here.
nothing. I hadn't even changed a car tire on my car. And so I
It's a
knew I was
helicopter mechanic, right?
right.
Okay.
I made literally, so I made a really, really high GT score on my testing, which is one of the things that you need to be able to pick a good job.
Okay.
And so I literally had pick of the litter
You had that
for my
going for you.
jobs.
Okay.
But I had to make a certain mechanical score as well to get into this aviation job. I made the minimum mechanical score because I didn't know anything about mechanics.
Right.
But I was like, okay, well, I made the minimum on that, so I'm good. So
Wow. And how did you like it?
I loved it. I loved it.
And how long were you that?
I did it for 6 years. It was a
6 years.
6-year enlistment because of the type of training that they have to put you through. So you had to enlist for a little bit longer because of the length of training that you do.
More with Sarah about life after the military and the book series that she's working on right after this break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their Schoolbox online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual, authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family. Just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
Alrighty, moms, welcome back. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to ask everyone to like, subscribe, and share the podcast with your mama friends. This helps us get our message out and shares the podcast, obviously, with all this great information. Also, if you have an idea or a topic or a guest for the podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net? I would love to hear from you. Lastly, I do want to invite all of you listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. Surely really hope that you're a part of the movement here. What a great group of mamas. We call ourselves the ultimate support group for moms all across this country. It's moms like us that are uniting all across this great country to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you join? It's very simple. You check us out at momsforamerica.us, join our newsletter, fill out the form. We will connect with you, let you know what's happening in your state and all across the country and all the incredible resources that we have for you. All right, now back to the show. I want to talk to you now because you've got to, I'm going to get so many questions here for you. So now you get deployed. You've gotten deployed. How many, what do we call that when you're deployed? It's not a tour. Is it a tour?
Yeah, they're combat tours.
I mean, see, I don't know. I don't get the lingo down here. But tell us about those tours, because now you're not only there for 6 years, you're deployed as a helicopter mechanic, what, in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Yes. So the first deployment was to Taji, Iraq, in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. And my to-be husband and I got actually engaged while we were deployed in Iraq, served for a year over there, and then came home, got married. We were home for a year and then deployed to Afghanistan for a year, and then came home, had another year at home, and then we separated honorably in 2013.
Wow. So you met in the service.
Yes.
And when you traveled, did you travel, then you obviously, you get deployed separately, or how does that work?
No, so we were in the same unit. So we, different companies, same battalion. So larger group, same part of the larger group, but different smaller groups within the larger group, if that makes sense.
Because it's interesting, even just the aspect of being married in the military to another person that's serving, that has got to have its challenges as well.
It was challenging, absolutely. Being engaged the first deployment, you're subjected to all of the, you're not married, so don't be too close to him, physically.
Oh, okay.
And then second deployment, there were no cohabitation quarters available. And so women tents were available and men's tents were available for our sleeping quarters. And so we were a newlywed couple living separately. And that
Good night,
was really
honey.
Hard.
Good night.
Right. And we were on opposite shifts as well. So that was challenging as well.
Yeah, that's got to be tough on a marriage, of course. And
Wow.
And so many people do this. They sign up to serve our country and, you know, just really protect America and our kids' future. So it's interesting now, just as we're talking about that, because now you're going to see the military from a completely different aspect than you were. It's obviously as a child serving. Mm-hmm. Now you're married. What were some of the changes that you saw maybe that your dad wouldn't have dealt with maybe kind of like different agendas coming through the Army and, kind of that woke ideology? Did you see that and did that affect you?
Absolutely. I mean, especially because my dad was an officer and we were enlisted. So we got to see a totally different type of culture and ideology than my dad experienced as an officer. And not to, talk negatively about the enlisted side of the military, because there are a lot of really great enlisted folk in the military. But there is it's a different type of culture for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different types of training that we have to go through as enlisted soldiers. The military is subjected to the political whims of whoever is in office.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever agenda is being promoted at the White House and in politics, that is trickled all the way down to whatever training we are subjected to, especially in the enlisted side.
Obviously, that's a commander in chief.
Yes, right.
So,
as we were in the service from 2007 until 2013, we had different presidents during those times, and there were definitely some woke things that were going on during that time. Initially, we were dealing with like the "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" things that were happening. And that was interesting. And then it started progressing towards all of the, transgender and,
Probably the beginnings of
open
DEI,
door. Oh,
right?
absolutely.
Yeah,
Yes.
diversity, equity,
And things just
inclusion, right?
really digressed rapidly. And so,
Well, we've seen such a drop in our, well, now it's different with President Trump, but we surely saw
right.
a complete decline
Huge decline.
in recruitment.
Right. And obviously we got out before like the COVID stuff and all of the vaccine things and all
Right.
of that. But there was just a huge shift, like I said, with the training that was already mandatory, and then just the sexual assault and harassment stuff that training and things that they were making mandatory. And not saying that these things aren't important issues that need to be dealt with, because they are.
Right, because
But it
that's
was
been a
not,
problem, clearly.
but it was more of a check the block than it was actually dealing with the issue, in my opinion.
Okay.
And so for me, it was really frustrating, because it didn't seem like leadership was wanting to solve the problem, more as they were wanting to get around the problem and move on to the next mission,
Sure. Move on. Right.
and
And at that
so
point, were there any men in your unit? You have any men pretending to be women?
no,
No.
we really didn't. It was n definitely more of a, well, we were in, it was definitely more of the don't ask, don't tell. We didn't talk about it. And so thankfully I didn't have any issues with, men being in women's bathrooms or
Spaces, yeah.
things like that. But it was clear that that's where it was headed. And
Right.
so that
And
was
it did.
definitely a determining factor in our separation when we separated.
Okay. Meaning you didn't re-enlist.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was, you could see where it was going and that this was going to be a challenge. And
Right.
unfortunately, yeah, people make decisions on where they feel like the culture is going, whether it's
Right.
military or your neighborhood, you know?
Right. Right.
So now you didn't you did not re-enlist, you and your husband now homeschooling kids. What's life like being, and we're going to get to the book now. What's life
Yeah.
like now?
Life is good. We
Life is good.
life is really good. We have been homeschooling for the last 5, almost 6 years, and absolutely love it. We enjoy, so living in Texas, we have a lot of homeschooling freedom, which is wonderful. We're very involved in our community, in our homeschool co-op community, and just really enjoy the freedoms that come with that. And the boys are thriving, which is fantastic.
Oh, that's
So I
great.
couldn't be happier with the choice that we had made to do that.
How have you instilled patriotism to your children now? I mean, we're going to talk about the books, but just in general, this is something that we've lost in the culture because obviously, 5, 6 years ago, we started with all this, we don't stand for the anthem. We don't put our heart over, our hand over our heart. We don't take our baseball cap off. We don't
Right.
understand and recognize America's greatness anymore because all of a sudden America became bad. So
Right.
how are you instilling that in your kids as former military? You must that must be a lot of really interesting discussions between your father's stories and yours as
Right.
far as patriotism.
I really think that a lot of it comes down to just speaking truth and teaching truth. And so, ensuring that our curriculum that we're using is truthful,
Right.
including a variety of resources, and ensuring that those resources are accurate, and then exposing the boys to a variety of experiential learning as well. So, taking them to those museums, exposing them to veterans and their stories and testimonies, taking them to, we plan to take them to the different military schools around the country so that they can see firsthand,
Yeah.
oh, this is what they do. This is how they learn. These are the benefits that are available to men who serve their
Right.
country. And this is a valuable and honorable thing that they can do to give back to their country.
Yeah. And
I wonder
so,
if the I wonder if they'll enlist. Who knows? You never
yeah, you know,
know.
honestly, we don't
And
know. And
right.
we're not pushing that on them by any
Sure.
means, but we do want them to know that this is an option for them and it is an honorable thing
It is.
to serve God and their country in that way.
Amen.
And how it has blessed us and our family over the years.
And therefore, that's why you wrote these books. Let's talk about them.
Yeah.
So you've done two books that are about military life, kids, kind of the whole thing. Tell us about the two books and then a little bit about each of them.
Yeah. So the first book I wrote is called The Peppered Sky. It came out in 2023. And this story is based off of my memories of watching my dad as an airborne paratrooper. So we would go out, the four of
How
us,
cool.
kids with mom and the dog, and we'd go out to the drop zone and watch him jump out of airplanes. And so it's just a very experiential type of fun, rhyming picture book that shows readers what it's like to watch daddy jump out of an airplane for his job. And it just kind of instills a sense of, hey, this is a really cool thing that military families get to do, some of them.
Yeah.
And then it includes educational resource pages to help kind of extend beyond the story and explain how do paratroopers keep us safe and what does it mean by the
Okay.
cost of freedom? And then some like critical thinking questions and journal prompts, and then even a create your own paratrooper activity.
Nice.
So that's the first story.
Peppered
The second,
sky,
The
okay.
Peppered Sky. Sleeping Giants is a little closer to my heart because it's about the helicopters. And so it's about a helicopter mom who is a service member, and she takes her son to the hangar to see a very special thing while they're there at the hangar. But before they see that thing happen, Finn is the little boy, and he gets to kind of explore the helicopters that are there in the hangar. And he jumps into his imagination and goes on some pretend missions on the three
Oh, I
different army
love that.
helicopters. And so it also includes the same type of educational resource pages and a STEM activity as well.
Oh, those sound so good. I know our moms are going to be interested in that because, again, teaching those that protect and fight and defend our country. I mean, this is something that all of us need to be discussing with our kids because if freedom is not free, someone has paid a
Absolutely.
cost and people sign up and give their lives for this.
Right.
So what ages is the books for?
So the correct answer is ages 4 to 8, but
Okay.
kids younger and older have definitely been enjoying these stories. And they're
Okay.
not just for military families. I
That's
think
what I was
that's
going to ask
a
you,
common
right?
misconception. Absolutely. So these are stories that provide a reflection in literature for military families, which is so incredibly needed. But it was written, honestly, from my teacher's heart to provide all families a little peek at what military family life is like. And so it's a great resource for families who are curious or just want to instill in their little readers a deeper appreciation for our armed forces.
I mean, so well needed. And it's really not something that a lot of people are writing about. You know, we
Right.
focus so much on sports or we focus so much on cooking or
Right.
decor or gosh, everything and their brothers on Instagram and TikTok and all this stuff. You know, this is
Yeah.
something that we just don't concentrate enough in it. Our country was built by these heroes, you know,
Yeah.
so
Yeah.
important. How do we get your books?
So my books are available on major retailers like Amazon. It's on Etsy. It's on Barnes and Noble. But honestly, the very best platform where you can actually get a signed copy of my book is on a platform that's pretty new. It's called Spousely, Spousely.com. And this is a platform that's a lot like Etsy, but all of the vendors are military and first responder vendors.
Oh, good. We'll put that up so people can take a look at that, get your books. Well, Sarah, what an interesting life you had so far, and you're still so young. I mean, goodness gracious. We'll see what all God has for you. But thank you for your service to your husband, to your father, to your mother, to your brothers, I guess everybody over there. And thanks
Yeah.
for writing this and reminding us how important serving is and how
Thank
important the
you.
military is for all of us, either just to get a peek into it or to actually participate and sign up. So we appreciate you, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the work that Moms for America is doing. I'm so excited to be here. Well, thank you again, Sarah. I just have a little scoop here. We're going to do a giveaway. Sarah gave me two books, both of those. So I'm going to do the both of the books that we talked about in today's podcast. They're autographed. If you are the first one to email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net, send us your name and your address, and I will get you out a complimentary collection here, the two books that we talked about today. So again, first person to email podcast@momsforamerica.net can get both of these books from Sarah. In closing, special thank you to all of our military families. Thank you to the mothers, the fathers, the children that have traveled the country. We so appreciate all of you. For those that you have enlisted, for those that you have given so much, even given your life, someone in your family, we so appreciate your sacrifice. Thank you for fighting for liberty and defending freedom. All right, for more about Moms for America, I do want to just remind you to go to momsforamerica.us, check out all of our amazing programs, our resources, everything that we have there to help support you on your journey through motherhood. Again, that is momsforamerica.us. Sign up, join the movement. We would love to have you. We say this every week, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress, Moms for America has it all. If you discuss it there in your home, we have it on our website. All right, moms, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. See you next week. And as always, keep sharing, liking, and subscribing to the Moms for America podcast. God bless. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.